The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this eighth day, election day of November 2022. Boy, we have a lot to talk about tonight, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about some updates on some of the races a little later on. But for right now, we've got to get into the most important part. And first of all, we've got to say we've got standing by vigilantly on the board, doing the best he can to keep us up on the air, Courageous Craig.
Good evening, and I'm trying.
Yeah, I know you are. You do a good job, young fellow. You do.
Appreciate it.
And we have out there, he's not so young, but he does a good job, too. None other than Pastor Joe.
And not so young, that's one way to phrase it. To his child of the kingdom, and forever I am, glad to be with you.
Yeah, but don't forget, not so young. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not so young either. So
I was not so young 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
I'm not going to touch. I'll leave it alone. That's all right. Okay, let's pick up on the message. You know, the message today is about what happens when people, when the crisis seems to be over, instead of going and finishing the job. You know, the Bible says that all nations that forget their God are turned into hell. All nations that forget their God are turned into hell. And, you know, Joe, they're showing, I've been watching these polls that they're taking, and if these polls are anywhere near accurate, when they poll people on things like, first of all, abortion, should you keep abortion legal? And over 60% of the people say, yeah. That tells you that nation has forgotten her God. That nation, right now, here's a stark truth. This is real reality, but it's right over the head of most people. They're clueless. They're la-la landers. They've got no understanding that God has 100% history of doing exactly what he says, where he says, when he says, with 100% accuracy. But the vast majority of people out there are clueless. They don't know it. They're again.
They have no idea.
They're simple. The Bible calls them.
Look at all of this. People are voting for the economy. They're voting because they don't like the inflation. They don't like the energy problems. But nobody's voting because the Democrats are going against the Constitution. They're going against God. They're rejecting that. They're not. They're voting for all the wrong things. They're voting just very personal things. They are not seeing the picture that we were created a nation under God. All our institutions, the law and government, were based on God's commandments and his teachings in the New Testament, his Ten Commandments. And they're forgetting that that was the bedrock, the moral foundation of this country. Everything was built upon those simple premises. Nobody's talking about anything that really gets down to the problem, the morality, the lack of faith, the lack of understanding of our government constitution. And it tells me that the people are just not, they're not only biblically unaware, but they don't understand the form of government, and they don't see the problems, the real problems.
No. Again, you can sum that all up by saying America has forgotten her God.
Amen.
America has forgotten her God. And so
her creator, her God, and her savior.
Okay, we're going to pick it up where we left off last night. I want you to go to 2 Kings in chapter 11 and read through 15.
No.
Sorry. I mean, Ezekiel 23, I'm sorry. Ezekiel 23. Ezekiel
23. We left off at verse 12.
Well, let's pick it up at 11 and read it through 15, and then stop.
Okay, 11 through 15. And when his sister, Aholibah, saw this, she was more corrupt in her inordinate love than she, and in her whoredoms more than her sister in her whoredoms. She doted upon the Assyrian, her neighbors, captains and rulers, clothed most generously, horsemen riding upon horses, all of them desirable young men. Then I saw that she was defiled, that they took both one away, and that she increased her whoredoms. For when she saw men portrayed upon the wall, the images of the Chaldeans portrayed with vermilion, girdled with girdles upon their loins, exceeding in dye attire upon their heads, all of them princes to look to, after the manner of the Babylonians of Chaldea, the land of their nativity.
Okay, Joe, so here now, and when we're talking about these two sisters, this is an allegory, okay, just so people right. that are just tuning in. It's not like it is over in Hosea, where Gomer was a real whore. She was a real living female whore, okay? It's not like it was over in 2 Kings 18 and 19, where Jezebel was a real live living whore, okay? But these are allegories. In this case, these two sisters represent, well, they represent two cities, and they represent those two cities. Do you remember what the two cities were? They were Jerusalem and
Jerusalem
Syria.
Syria.
Right, and then they represent two nations, the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom.
Kingdom, right.
Okay, so now here, as he talks about going back to where you started, and when her sister, Aholibah, saw that she was more corrupt in her inordinate love, that she had in her whoredoms more than her sister in whoredoms, she doted upon the Assyrians, her neighbors. Now, these are Assyrians, as not Syrians, okay? And captains and rulers, clothed most gorgeously, horsemen riding upon horses, all of them desirable young men. Now, that actually took place, Joe. That actually took place over in 2 Kings chapter 6. If we start over there at 16, chapter 16, with verse 5 here, because that means she was lusting and here excessively, you know, trying to please the Assyrians. Now let's go over to 2 Kings chapter 16 and read me starting with verse 5.
Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. How far do you want me to go?
No, read all the way down to all the way through verse 9.
Okay. At that time, Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Eleth to Syria and drove the Jews from Eleth, and the Syrians came to Eleth and dwelt there unto this day. So Ahaz sent his messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which riseth against me. And Ahaz took silver and gold, and was found in the house that was found in the house of the Lord, and in the treasures of the king's house, and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it, and carried the people of it captive to Kur, and slew Rezin.
Well, see, here now, Rezin was coming in, and Ahaz was afraid of Rezin, that Rezin was going to come in. He was the king of Syria and Apeka. Yeah. And so what he does here, Ahaz, instead of depending upon God, you know, God made it pretty clear. He didn't stutter, you know. If you will repent of your sin, repent of your sins and listen to me, I will destroy your enemies, okay, before you. But Ahaz, he goes up to Damascus to pay tribute money to Tiglath-Pileser because the Assyrians had captured Damascus, the capital of Syria, and that was done back in 732 B.C., in fact. And Ahaz was afraid of this huge, huge southern sweep, but he was relying more on the money than on God, again, to keep the powerful king out of his land, and this plan failed pretty miserably, anyhow. Also, Tiglath-Pileser did not conquer Judah. He caused a lot of trouble, and Ahaz regretted asking for his help to begin with. And so, this is what he was referring to. Ahaz, and the Assyrians, they were referred to as Aholibah. Well, in other words, here, as a whole about, now Ahaz, or I should say Judah, the southern kingdom, Judah, was referred to.
Upon the Assyrians.
Yeah, and so she was Aholibah, which had sinned more than her sister Israel, okay? So now we're going to go down here and pick it up in verse 16. Well, before we do that, let's just talk about that because here, and you compare that. Let's compare that with something here today. Just as Ahab trusted more in money to keep the resident king of Syria, out of his land, those that are called the church today have trusted in big government, Joe. Joe, let me ask you this. Who are supposed to feed the hungry?
The church.
Who are supposed to clothe the naked?
The church.
Who is supposed to house the homeless?
The church.
Who is supposed to visit those that are sick and in prison?
The church.
So what does the church do today with the 501c3 corporate?
It says over to the government.
Let the government. So the church goes to the government and says, "We want your programs." What is supposed to be the church? We want your programs. We want you with our 501c3 to be our head, and we're going to depend upon you to supply.
We're going to give up our freedom. We're going to give up our mission. We're going to give up our what the Lord commanded us to do for what? Oh, for a government approval that you can have your donations tax exempt so you can build big fancy churches, have movie theaters and coffee shops and all kinds of things in your church and beautiful facilities, but you do no work for the Lord. It was a compromise. They sold their soul for what? Money, for mammon.
And we'll tithe to the government with our Social Security. We'll tithe to the government with our income tax. And when the government wants our vote, when they want our vote, we'll gladly take the free money. We'll take the COVID money. We'll stay home. We won't even go to work. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Now, forget that. We'll take that COVID money. Don't keep taking money that somebody else has worked and earned. Okay. We'll see if we can...
The church even educated the children, right?
Right. We'll sell our vote. If we want to go to college and go there and have other people pay our college for us, the transfer of wealth, like Obama says, from those that have earned it to those that deserve it.
Those who deserve it.
Yeah, we'll go and on other people's money. And, this is, again, they have forgotten God. They have totally forgotten God. It's like, well, you know, gee, God needs to get in step with our society, right?
Yeah, he just doesn't understand what we're trying to, produce down here, what we're trying to imagine, what we're trying to build. We're not following his commandments and ordinances and laws, but he's messing with our, he doesn't understand our dreams.
And today we see corrupt government transferring funds from the military and from the VA to illegal aliens. They were taking money from the Veterans Association from the VA to give to illegal aliens for health care and cell phones. And so, like Hezekiah trusted in Chaldea, the Americans trusted a very corrupt government that sold us out to China. They sold America out to China. China owns more of America than America does. China owns the farmlands.
Also to the United Nations and the World Economic Forum. You know, in a lot of ways, they've sold bits and pieces here and there all over the world, right?
Yeah. And, China now has opening police stations in America. They're having their own police stations.
That intimidate and threaten anybody of Chinese descent, even if they're American citizens. So we have a foreign government police force intimidating American citizens.
And see, after 9/11, Joe, America should have protected. But we had, remember, there was a Muslim in the White House. We had a Muslim there in 2008.
Yeah, the call to prayer was the most beautiful thing he had ever heard in the world.
Yeah, but before him, Mr. Bush, remember Mr. Bush said the Muslims were a peaceful people?
Oh, yeah, that, yeah. Sorry, I was thinking of the chief Muslim, yeah.
Well, I don't really have anything against Muslims. I have a lot against terrorists, Muslim terrorists, all terrorists, whether whatever they call themselves. And they opened up over 100 terrorist training camps in America. The FBI was fully aware of it. But they were told, stand down, just stand down. That you know where they're at, but just stand down. Let them train. They're there when Obama gives the word in case he needs to use them, see. But that's a reality that the vast majority of the people in this country are totally unaware of. They're totally,
well,
you know,
we
what?
We talked about it. We told how many there were and all kinds of things about them. But it didn't show up in the mainstream media.
No, it
anywhere.
Didn't.
It didn't.
You know what, though?
The misinformation about COVID didn't show up except the alternate press.
All right. You know what we forgot to do from the beginning here? We forgot to call the people to help us in prayer. Last night, we managed to pretty much duck some buttons. We were off in, as far as I know, Illinois. We went down there. But right now, we need to petition the Lord to come against, the devils in the details and the devils in the equipment. And so we need to petition God to keep us up tonight. So let's pray. And again, I want to ask the folks out there, wherever you're at, out there all over the country, join with us. Please help us stay on the air tonight because, obviously dark, sinister forces, folks, don't want us on the air. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just would, again, petition you right now, asking you again, Lord, to hedge us around about tonight, hedge the radio program, Lord, Father God, and again, come against those dark forces that would come and try to take us down tonight. And Lord, and then let your truth, your whole truth, nothing but your truth, as we continue to tell people what is happening, what the deep state, what the enemies don't want the people out there to know, what the enemies of freedom do not want our people to know. So we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Joe, we'll stop right there, and we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back right after this.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. And the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more flack. And we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna.
Okay, we're not going to take it anymore. Some of us never did take it. Some of us have been fighting back for 50 years. I mean, every single day. And we're going to keep fighting back until the Lord takes us home. Because we really do, I mean for real, really do believe the Word of God. We really do. You know, Joe, you hear so many people say, yeah, you hear them going through the motions and parroting things, but you know that they're saying what they think people expect him to say, and you know they really don't mean it. And so often, how do you know that? By their actions. The Bible says by the fruits they bear, by their actions, you know they're saying one thing and then they're doing another. But anyhow,
you know, thinking about that, there was a cartoon, Renko, did a swamp monster called Swamp Monsters News, It's always on Fox. You can find it. And it shows the swamp monsters. There's this tree that the Democrat donkey is watering in the middle of the swamp. And it quotes scripture, Matthew 7:20, by their fruits you shall know them. And hanging from this tree are all these little balls with things like fentanyl deaths, rising crime, open border, inflation, socialism, energy crisis, homeless, you know, gender confusion, censorship, CRT, late-term abortions, you name it. All these things are hanging from this tree, and that scripture in bold letters, by their fruits ye shall know them. And that is the party of the Antichrist, and all of those things that they push and present out there to the American people are what? Antichrist and evil and against the Constitution and against most cases common sense.
Absolutely. Well, I used to watch cartoons when I was a kid. They weren't like that, though. Anyhow.
Well, they weren't quite that intelligent.
No. No. Anyhow, the forces of darkness are at it again. They're going to try to go after the legitimate president of the United States of America, President Donald J. Trump. Tell us what you know about what's happening on that end.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Okay, the forces of darkness, named Merrick Garland, for once.
Oh.
He's got nasty, sinister plans for the legitimate president, the real president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Tell us what you know about what they're up to.
Well, right now, there is a big breaking story. General Flynn is warning that there is a big perjury trap, FBI perjury trap, set for Donald Trump. He said, like they tried to set me up. And what they've done, according to General Michael Flynn, is that you all know about the raid because Trump was keeping things from the National Archives. And they seized 11,000 documents, but fewer than 1% were marked classified. Now, here's what he said was really going on. He said that the agents in May subpoena, asked Trump for the documents in his custody bearing classification markings, as opposed to saying they wanted classified documents, which he was saying is a very carefully worded distinction that was designed to trip up Trump and his people. Well, it kind of did, because Trump and the custodian of his records likely believed that these documents were no longer classified or had classifications on them because he had voided them or reversed them. So his lawyers were looking to anything they thought was still classified, and they turned those all over. But there were some documents that were marked that he thought, although they were marked, they had been declassified. They're playing very narrow word games here. Now, there's a lot more to this story because there's more trickery involved. These people knew about this trap. Jay Bratt, the Justice Department official that ran this raid and investigation, when they executed the search warrant, we found this classified information. Well, this sting operation, remember when Trump let the FBI down and looked at the information, they told him to get a stronger lock on the door where he stored them in this special room? Well, they secretly monitored, using Trump's own security camera footage, for months before they hit him with this big raid with 30 armed agents who went through everything.
Called the Dirty 30. They're the same ones that went to Michigan.
Right.
And they're the same ones that were at January 6th.
Right. They were spying on Trump in this room. Now, this thing gets a little hairy, gets a little worse, you see, because it turned out that Trump, by keeping records there, may have been complying with what Justice Department told him. They told him not to move those records, to put a stronger lock on the door. Now, So he said, okay. So they did what he was told. But here is the big key. There is a guy named Joe Biden. And Joe Biden, when President Biden took office, he broke tradition with all the former presidents. He ordered the intelligence community to stop giving intelligence briefings to his predecessor, in other words, Donald Trump. That effectively decertified the special secure room known as SCIF, Sensitive Compartmented Information Facility, Trump had set up at Mar-a-Lago to receive his daily intelligence briefings and classified reports when he was vacationing there. You know, like all the presidents had a home or went to Camp David or went someplace. Biden goes back to his home, right? They have a special room there, a sensitive compartmented information facilities. But when he ordered, when Biden ordered the intelligence community to stop giving these intelligence briefings to Trump, because he said, what? Trump was erratic, posed a national security threat. Then Biden ordered that he be cut off from receiving reports that were given to Clinton, Bush, Obama, Ford, everybody else. But when they canceled the briefings, guess what that did, Pastor Ernie? That meant that all of a sudden that special room, that SCIF, was no longer valid. So all of a sudden now Trump was storing classified documents, according to the FBI, in a room that was not authorized for classified documents. Now the big lie comes up. Remember, despite repeated and these denials from the White House that politics played no role in this, Biden, we know, was totally involved because he's the one that ordered the community to stop giving the briefings, which stopped the sensitive compartmental information facility from being valid. He's the one then who said they went to him. The Justice Department went to the president to request the National Archives provide the FBI access to the boxes of documents. So then the FBI subpoenaed Trump for additional records. Yet Biden says he and the White House had no information at all when he's the one who had to order it done. So we have a commander-in-chief, he calls himself, who is an outright liar. He is sneaky, underhanded, helped the FBI and Merrick Garland set up Trump and put him in a perjury situation here. All of this has been foisted on somebody, and it's coming from the highest office in the land. So here's Trump and his team. They're holding over these classified documents that they said they didn't have because it was a misinformation. You know, they thought they were declassified, but as long as they were marked, that was the whole thing. As long as they were marked, they were to be turned over. And I can see where anybody, even an attorney, gets confused reading through this. I'm trying to simplify its pages of complications. Any document bearing classification markings, which a normal person would mean it says classified documents. Then, to top all this off and make it even worse, there was a stack of files that had classified stickers on them, but there was nothing in them. Oh, he must have stolen this stuff and hiding it somewhere else. That's why we had the big raid and had to go through his wife's underwear and his son's drawers and socks and, you know, tear the place apart. No, they were just extra files that they had, the things that had been given over to the National Archives, and they used these files that were already conveniently there to put in pictures and all kinds of magazine clippings, all kinds of other things, but they're using it to make it look like Donald Trump is hiding all kinds of stuff from the government. So this whole big thing is one big hoax, one big scam. It's as bad as Russian collusion. As I look at this, I am so ashamed of my country, my government, the man that sits in the president office. It is despicable. The FBI, these people are nothing but scum. And they're trying to do anything to make Donald Trump, like I said, I'm trying to give you a brief commentary on many pages. You can go, the title of the news report is General Flynn, Warning of FBI Perjury Trap for Trump, and you can find it at WND.com, published November 8th, and it was also published in Real Clear Wire by Paul Sperry. Real Clear Wire, Paul Sperry. You can find this information. But as you go through this, Pastor Ernie, this is sickening. We no longer live in a constitutional republic. We are...
We live in a police state now. We're in a police state.
Police state, yeah.
And we have a dictator in the White House.
Dictator in chief.
Well, not only is he a dictator in chief, but he's a crook. Again,
big time.
The entire Biden crime cartel, he's called the big guy by those within the mob. And his job, just like, you know, you have the different criminal organizations work with each other. The mafia has worked with the Hell's Angels at time and the bankers to, you know, to make the money in criminal activity. The Biden crime cartel is the gatekeeper. It's the gatekeeper for the southern border, keeping the doors open so that the drug dealers can bring in their drugs.
All these drugs. Yeah.
And the human smugglers. Yeah. All that money.
The biggie.
Right. And the big guy gets his 10% on whatever the crime family makes. And the same thing with the Ukraine. All they turned the Ukraine into, it was since a money laundering operation, okay? Everywhere that the Biden touched, the criminal activity, the entire crime family. And, of course, you're not going to hear that on the fake news media because they're there to cover, to run interference and to cover for the criminal activity of the Democratic Communist Party crime syndicate there, if you will. And
well,
again,
this kind of ties in with the rest of the story. Trump is going to make this big announcement on the 15th. He wants to make this announcement before they indict him. The former federal prosecutor, Andrew McCarthy, who defended Trump through the FBI and DOJ's Russiagate investigation, said, "I believe Trump is likely to be charged with obstruction of justice and causing false statements to be made to investigators," quote, FBI. But a lot of people, including, I'll think of it in a moment, his well-known attorney, says that they do not have yet the evidence to indict Trump because they have to prove that he knowingly concealed evidence. And so they've been careful so far to say that the documents likely concealed, were likely taken, blah, blah, blah. They still don't have quite the solid evidence or time to get it together.
They never have, Joe. All they've used, they've made up their own evidence. It's lies and deception, corruptions, planning things.
Same thing. It's word game with the,
Okay, Joe, I'm going to ask you a question. What is the main reason, what is the number one top reason that they want Trump gone? There's a number one top reason they want, that they fear him. Why?
Because he was out to destroy the deep state.
And what was the number one?
Formerly one of them, and he turned on them. He knows them. He understands them and realizes what they were doing, and he is trying to destroy them.
Okay, so what is the horrible thing that they've been doing, the terrible thing that they've been doing that they don't want people to know about? Democrats...
Our government is totally corrupt. We've sold every office, every department for money, corruption. We've sold away freedoms to foreign countries. They're basically just totally... destroying America so that there can be a communist revolution takeover.
All right. Craig, are you there?
Yeah.
Let's do Lara Hogan now. So Joe understands exactly what that the number one crime that they're so afraid of, because they're all involved in it.
Crime, I got you. Yeah. Well.
Okay, go ahead and do Laura Logan. Gee, he'll be putting bringing her up.
So that I can focus on what really matters. And what really matters is that we no longer are a society that accepts the facts that children are used in ritual sacrifice and in trafficking and to reverse the aging effects to keep people looking good and feeling good. No, that's not okay. It is not okay. And I'm going to get to the bottom of it as much as humanly possible, and I am not going to hold back. The reality of what we have been doing to children will be laid bare for all the world to see, and it'll be in a credible format with real investigative journalism behind it, so that it can't be pushed to the fringes of lunacy and the alt-right and, you know, and all the other nonsense that they throw at us to bury and silence and intimidate. They cannot intimidate me. I don't fear them.
Oh, let me ask you this here. Does any of this tie in to the New World Order agenda?
I believe that it does. It ties in a very simple way. I mean, you just have to look, first of all, at the United States today. If you speak to anyone in the trafficking world, will tell you is the number one destination worldwide for sex trafficking, right? There isn't a sex trafficker on the planet that doesn't know that if they can get their people to the southern border, they've got the best chance they've ever had of making it into the United States and walking away scot-free, right? And they can do what they want. In fact, not only can they do that, and not only is the United States government today facilitating those people who cross the border illegally, but once they cross, they're getting all kinds of resources and assistance, right? So they're sending unaccompanied minors, for example, to companies and to Catholic charities and other NGOs, and also to foundations, and they're paying these organizations millions and millions of dollars to basically get rid of these children. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of children, right? Since this administration came into office, and these you'll find an NGO when you start investigating that never had a budget of more than 1 to 2 million, and they're getting budgets of $20-30 million from the Biden administration. And when I speak to people who work there, some of whom I know very well, some of whom have occupied very senior positions in government to have retired from them, they tell me that they know they are currently trafficking children. Ask the Border Patrol why, when this administration came into office, they eliminated the job of investigating whether the people claiming to be relatives and claiming to be families were actually real families. So think about this. Think about a Border Patrol agent. And instead of, you know, bringing to it all this propaganda that, okay, here I've got a guy who he just hates people and he's racist and he's a white supremacist, so he doesn't want anyone to cross the border. Most of the Border Patrol agents in the Rio Grande Valley and South Texas and all across the Texas border are Hispanic, right? I mean, we're not talking about 50%, 51%. We're talking about 80, 90%, right? The vast majority are Hispanic. And what they will tell me is that they know, they used to know when they had to, you know, try to find out if families were real, if people were lying, not lying, if they were trafficking these kids. They knew that they were the last hope for that child. That if they didn't figure it out right there at the border, that after that, the chances that this child would survive if they were being trafficked were very, very, well, they don't survive, right? The vast majority of them don't survive. And I want to tell you something. I went to a town in Mexico. It's called Tenancingo. If you've never heard of it, you go north from Mexico City. This is a town that has, for many, many, many years, it has been built on sex trafficking. That's, in fact, there was a university that did a study that found that most of the kids in Tenancingo grow up dreaming of and aspiring to be sex traffickers, right? I actually was able, through a very amazing Mexican contact, I was able to interview one of these traffickers, one of these pimps. And not only that, but I was able to interview two of the girls that were being prostituted under his control. And I interviewed them separately in a hotel. We couldn't do it in the town because it's very dangerous there. There were people forming the police force out of the town. You know, I mean, they don't welcome outsiders for obvious reasons. This is a town where once a year they hold a ceremony, and it's a tradition in the town. And they parade all the new young girls, the younger the better. And the men of the town choose which young virgin they're going to rape that night. Okay. Oh, and this is not done in secret. This is out in the public. Anyone can look up Tenancingo and they can see all the reporting and all the reporters that have been forced out of that town. And that, I want you to know that that was one of the worst things I've ever done in my entire life. One of the hardest things I've ever done, because I have interviewed women who have been freed from ISIS, whose stories of rape are just unbearable, but they were free. In that moment, when I got to speak to them, they may have been traumatized, they may have been damaged, but they were free. They had a chance to live. I had to sit in front of these two young girls. One had been sold when she was 12. And the other had been sold when she was 13. The 12-year-old was now 22, and the 13-year-old, I think, was 17. And these young girls told me in great detail, I mean, how they were raped every single day. They told me about being sick. They told me about the violence. They told me about being taken from their families. They told me the most heartbreaking stories you could ever imagine. I mean, they looked at me with desperation in their eyes. And I had to know, I had to live with myself and know that they were going to get up out of those chairs and they were going to walk out of that door and they were going to go straight back into that hell. And I could do nothing. I could do nothing to help them. And I can tell you that, I mean, it was patently obvious to me that they were begging for help. Absolutely begging for help. They lose their freedom. They lose their future. They lose their families. They lose absolutely everything. They are slaves and they are raped every single day of their lives until they die. I mean, either they're murdered or die from something else. And I asked them, just so you know, I asked them, do you want to go to the United States? Do a lot of the girls go to the United States? And they both reacted with fear. And they were like, oh, no. We don't want to go to the U.S. And I was a little surprised because we all think that, you know, we got the whole world beaten on the door. Why don't they want to? And you know what they said? They said the girls who go there, they never come back. They go there to die.
So what you're telling us really is something that you've seen, not just something you think.
Yes,
this is
of course.
That you've investigated and you have evidence.
And I'm still investigating and I'm still building more evidence. And when I have it in a form, that is up to the standards of 60 minutes, because that's the standard of reporting that I deliver and I have always delivered, then it will be in my four-part series. You can look at my show on Fox Nation. You can see the interview that I just described. You can see it for yourself. You can see the town. There were headlines all over the world when that episode aired, but it was behind Fox Nation's paywall.
Well, understand this here. I believe you, but I'm looking at how they pounced on you. What is the problem? If you are doing your job as an investigative journalist,
right,
and you're finding out this information, why isn't the mainstream media or corporate media or the media period talking about this stuff?
What's
you know, we
on?
Talk about it, we speak about it, we hear about human trafficking, but it looks like or sounds like to us, you're going into details about what's happening, and it's like somebody don't want it to get out. Why do you think that the mainstream media is just blocking this out?
You know what it's like to look at the photographs of a six-year-old child who's covered in lacerations and swollen and in a cage being raped? You know, I mean, do you know what that's like? You know, you think I care what the mainstream media says and does? I don't care. I don't care one bit. And I wish I could tell you more, but I don't want to jeopardize the investigation, right? Because it takes a long, long time to get to the point that I am in my career, where I have earned the respect of people, where people are willing to talk to me because they know I never break my word. You know, I always keep my word. My priority is my integrity. That is my priority. Right. So I want the truth, but I'm not going to walk all over you, right? That's not who I am. If I give my word, I keep my word. And they know this. And you know what? When I almost died in Egypt, and I was interviewed about that on 60 Minutes, people all across this country, Democrats, Republicans, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They got to see what I was made of. They know. They know in their heart and soul. And the evil people in this country, the nasty people, the horrible people, they're the ones who want to write articles that say, oh, she used to be so good. You know, she was great at 60 Minutes and now she's gone crazy. Please. These are the same people that lied about Hunter Biden's laptop. They lied about Russia collusion. They lied about Ukraine impeachment. They lied about Trump being spied upon. They lied about him, you know, stealing classified information or leaking classified information to the Russians. Remember that whole thing in the early in the Trump White House? Never mind that the act of speaking by the president of the United States is an act of declassification. And you can look it up in the law. Don't take my word for it. Again, never take my word for it. Do your own homework. I don't care. You know what I mean? But there's the law. An act of speaking is an act of declassification for the president of the United States. So it's impossible for Trump to leak something to anyone. You know, it's impossible. The act of speaking, just go back to Ronald Reagan when he held a press conference in the 1980s and he talked about the existence of the National Reconnaissance Organization. That was a super clandestine, top level secret organization that no one knew about. And the act of him speaking it was an act of declassification. You know, that's how it's been for every president, but not for Trump. So why would I care what these people, you know, say and do? Right. They lie about absolutely everything. They have no credibility. And I don't have time. You know what? It's just like, when I'm looking at an investigative file and I know that this is happening to children all across this country, that as we're doing this interview now, there are children who are being raped for so someone else can make money. There is the internet is being used to unite these people. Children are being trafficked on Facebook. Pedophilia is being normalized in every direction, right? Every way you turn, whether it's on social media or it's on the media itself. I mean, for goodness sake, USA Today is doing articles saying that people who rape, not all people who rape children are pedophiles and not all pedophiles rape children. Do I care? Do I care?
And I'm looking at the way that they're taking it, implementing this demonic. I'm looking at the way that they're taking it, implementing this demonic spirit within our schools, within our students and our children and so forth. Let me ask you something about that 60-minute interview that you said you did about yourself. Is that available anywhere for people to view?
Yes, it is. You can find it.
I think that that would be a great point to start at for a lot of people, because what I'm hearing from you versus what you're describing is something that connects you to this. And that's why you're so passionate about it and exposing it.
Right. So, and it's time for all of us to get passionate about children.
That's right.
We don't like the groomingization that they're doing now. They're slowly ushering our babies into something that we've never seen before, that will be considered child abuse.
Right.
And we've been trying to normalize it.
Yes.
We're trying to figure out why. And now you're able to speak what you found out. It's like we are all taken back.
Even right here in North Carolina, there is a place where it was like a school, I believe, and don't quote me on it, but anyway, they closed the deal with the Human Health Services for the Biden, and I call it the Biden regime. They closed the deal to house illegal alien children there to facilitate them to transition, either to connect them to their family or to another family. And it's written, of course, in the articles. But I'm listening to you, and
something is missing here, because how is it that these unaccompanied babies, these children are coming,
even able to come across the border?
I thought that was not supposed to happen.
Because me, as an American citizen, if I allow my child to walk to another state,
right,
they would get me for child abuse.
So how is this being? We just don't understand the magnitude of it. So big.
That is a very, very good question that every reporter should be asking. If you're at the White House, you should be asking that question. If you're down on the border, you should be asking that question. We were told, remember, that unaccompanied minors are coming to the United States to reunite with their families, right? That the parents are here and the children are there. Well, if that's the case, then why do you have any children in Child Protective Services or in Health and Human Services custody? Why are you giving children to companies and to the Catholic Charities and to other foundations and organizations? And why can you not find their parents? If they were coming to the United States, brought here by their parents to be reunited, why can you not find the parents? I mean, it's such an obvious lie. It's so simple. And I can tell you this, the mainstream media and all of these people, they don't bother to attack you if you're lying. If what you're saying is not true, they've got too many targets, right? So why would they invest the time and the resources? Why are they bothering to write one article after another about me if what I'm saying has no merit? I mean, they worry about you and invest the resources that it takes to attack someone. They invest those resources when they know that what you're saying is right. When you're right over the target, the more ferocious the attacks, the more on target you are. That's the way it works in information warfare. And what you're seeing is, I think, you're seeing a shaping operation. In information warfare, the way it's been described to me by multiple intelligence professionals and others who've worked in this field is that a shaping operation is when something is coming out, right? Maybe it's something you can't stop from coming out. Maybe it's something you want to come out. But you're shaping and preparing the information environment so that when people hear it, right, you get the outcome that you want. For example, classic shaping operation. Trump will be winning the election when the polls close. But once the mail-in ballots are counted, Biden will win. Classic shaping operation. If we hadn't been prepared with that for months before the 2020 election, it would have been much harder for them to sell the big lie that they told, that suddenly all these ballots came in that went 90-100% for Biden, right, which is a statistical impossibility. So that's what shaping operations do. Now sometimes something is coming out, right, when you know that you can't suppress the fact that children are being trafficked and that they're being used in ritual sacrifice and that they're being used for, anti-aging and goodness knows what else. Then if you.
Fight the fight. Fight the lie. We are there. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.